Hey everybody, welcome to the very special summer movie edition, this summer movie preview edition of the Friday Filibuster, where myself and Mac,
I can do,
Daryl,
hey yeah, hey yeah,
we'll just kind of scroll through a list of movies and see what's coming up in the next 3 or so months, and just talk about what kind of grabs us. This will be a stream of consciousness rolling yak fest, essentially. So obviously there'll be stuff we've never heard of, but maybe some things that will jump out. So that's pretty much it. We're just going to be looking at what's coming up and sharing with what we are especially either interested in or maybe want to avoid, like the plague. So all of those things are in play. Sound good, gentlemen?
That sure sounds thing. Fine. Spoiler alert,
yes.
I'm probably going to avoid all of them.
Okay, so yeah, we'll spoil that ahead of time. There's a good chance Daryl will see none of it. So, I guess we can just get right to
If you just want to get right into it, the first big thing that's striking out to me is the May 2nd release of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
All right, so we'll start with May 2nd. So
May 2nd.
We'll skip through, even though I do a quick shout-out to Brick Mansions. It's coming out, I guess, this week. So, Mac, if that gets some good press, that might be worth checking out.
That would be the Americanized District B-13.
That's right, with Paul Walker, obviously one of his last films. But David Bell is in it.
David Bell.
He was in the original one. So,
right, the parkour expert.
That's right. So, like, to me, I'll give that more leeway than if we get, like, the Raid American version starring Kelvin Luntz, which, by the way, Legend of Hercules was terrible. So, sorry.
No.
I hated how my voice just went up like that. As a hipster douchebag. Okay. So, yeah. So, Daryl, you're kicking us off May 2nd officially. I would say May is a good kickoff officially to
That's summery.
Hipster season. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Six more weeks of school, but yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 definitely headlines that. It doesn't look like there's a ton actually that's going up against it.
Your guy Tony Jaa is coming back in The Protector too.
So, now, I could have watched it any time. It's been on demand for a while.
Oh, really?
And I have heard nothing but terrible stuff.
Oh, no.
Like, the trailer I saw looked god-awful. It takes the best stuff about Tony Jaa and just ruins it because it was all CGI wire enhanced.
Oh, really?
Like, out of pure principle, I think I'm going to run away from that. So, yeah, so screw The Protector 2, unfortunately. But, yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm kind of, like, lukewarm on the Amazing Spider-Man reboots. Okay, I know, Mac, you're probably looking forward to it more than I am.
I am. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, because your take on the first one.
Does that sound better?
Yeah, what was your take on the first one?
I liked the first one a lot. It really surprised me how much I enjoyed it. I thought the cast was really great. I thought the action was pretty good. And I thought they really nailed it. This one, there's like 100 villains in this one, which makes me very nervous. There's like 3 main villains and then like a whole bunch more that have little cameos. So,
yeah,
I'm worried about, you know, character soup and too many characters.
But see, you know, I remember liking the first Amazing Spider-Man, but I don't remember anything about it.
Really?
Like nothing's memorable to me about it. I think I liked Andrew Garfield. So I just remember, like, sitting there and enjoying the movie, but I've no really no desire to see it again. So, again, I'm kind of lukewarm on this as well.
But. Yeah, but, I mean, I'm a huge Marvel fan. Spidey's one of my all-time favorite characters, so of course I'm going to see it.
Daryl, is this your bag, too?
Oh, no, I couldn't care less.
Okay, all right. This will be Daryl's easiest Friday thing. So definitely something that you're going to check out, Mac. And constantly, but, yeah, I'm with you. The villain saturation, you know, which to me I thought wasn't a great point in the favor of Spider-Man 3. So it'll be interesting to see how this handles all that stuff. So, all right. So we got May 9th.
Nothing too major. Well, we've got the CGI Legends of Oz movie. That'll be good for the young ones, I guess. It looks kind of terrible.
So Neighbors is the Seth Rogen comedy.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of trailers for that in the last few days, and it could be funny.
Could be funny.
I think it could be funny. I don't know. Zac Efron's in it.
Zac Efron is in it, yes.
So that kind of precludes terrible, but, you know. You never know. You never know. I think the premise is kind of funny.
And we've got Jon Favreau's Chef, which has got a great cast, by the way. I mean, it's Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Amy Sedaris, which is always good to see. So that's his comedy, I think. So very smaller compared to Iron Man, but that's coming out as well.
Also that week, May 9th, is Stage Fright, the horror film
right.
that has like yeah. a It's like a horror musical, like a Rocky Horror sort of thing.
So there you go, Daryl. That's some Daryl catnip, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's interesting to me, and I want to see it, but I'm not really 100% sure that there's anything to really latch onto. Originally, I thought it was a remake of the early 80s Michele Soavi Italian horror movie Stage Fright, but it's not.
Oh, is that the one where the guy has the owl mask?
Yeah, the owl mask.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Rad. But it's not that. It's something entirely different. It's something closer to Glee meets Friday the 13th.
And with that, I am out. Let's go to May 16th. May 16th, I will say I am looking forward to Godzilla. In fact, I'm looking at an official movie poster framed and hanging up on my in my little Xbox area, man cave type of thing, which my wife lovingly gave me the okay to hang. So 27x40, which is a badass poster, by the way, I will say. It's the one where Godzilla's walking through the debris and the skydivers are falling on top of him. So looking forward to this. Like the tone and Gareth Edwards, right? That's his name. Isn't that the director, Gareth Edwards? He did Monsters.
Not the Raid guy.
Not the Ray. That's Gareth Evans, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then Gareth Hedlund is the actor from Tron. and then Gareth is from The Office, so lots of Gareths. But, yeah, I will say I'm and this is just me loving God, like growing up loving Godzilla and thinking the last American Godzilla movie we got blue chunks, right? So.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that I always question is why we Americans keep trying to make Godzilla.
There's something about – there's something
we want
about
it to be cool, but we never make it cool. We always make it stupid.
Which is – so this is obviously – now, you know, Roland Emmerich's Godzilla was real cornball, right? We can admit that, right? So,
Oh, yeah.
And so was Godzilla 85.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Godzilla 2000, by the way. So,
and Godzilla 2000, yeah. This one... We need to stop it.
This one is like... looks like... if you've seen the trailers, they are just playing this straight and grim and, you know, gritty, and I'll take it. And Godzilla is not the, you know, Velociraptor on HGH he was in Roland Emmerich's one. So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. I respect the actor. Pretty good cast. Like what I've seen so far. So, really hoping this delivers the monster action that didn't quite land for me in Pacific Rim. So that's where I'm at with that.
We'll just see.
And then we got Million Dollar Arm. It's a John Hamm movie or whatever the one. He's a baseball agent.
Since Moneyball, they've decided that baseball movies are somehow or sports minutia movies.
Right. Sports minutia movies.
is a way to go for box office because you've got the Kevin Costner movie.
Right.
About the I guess it's called The Draft.
Right.
And then you've got this thing that looks terrible with John Hamm.
Goes to India to recruit cricket players and turn them into baseball players or something.
Right. Right.
Because, what is that really what it's about?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
but it's Don Draper.
It is Don Draper.
So it's cool.
That's right.
On a certain level. Yeah.
That's right.
Nobody wants to see that.
Okay. So we'll move on. May 23rd, another big one, Mac.
Mm-hmm. X-Men, Days of Future Past.
I am decidedly mixed on this, to be honest. Okay. So
I'm really curious about it. They're just taking – this is the seventh X-Men movie, and they're all in the same continuity, and this one's going to like tie it together – a whole bunch of threads from all the previous ones. So,
yeah.
That's exciting. And
see, I got to say, I liked X-Men. Help me out. What the heck was the first class, right? X-Men First Class,
yeah.
I liked that one a lot. You know, I thought Fassbender was awesome, and everybody was good in that. I'm actually not super excited about bringing the old crew back. Like, I don't know if I want Halle Berry's Storm again. I'm not, you know, I'm sick of that. And I don't know. Everyone else seems kind of. I don't know.
Well, we got Hugh Jackman. Gambit.
And Hugh Jackman has kind of the linchpin. But, you know, Gambit, I guess. I don't know. It just the trailer I saw just seems so far up its tailpipe. I know I was a little off. But I've seen some subsequent stuff, you know, with the Sentinels. Those look pretty cool. So, I guess we just hope this gets released. I have no idea what Bryan Singer's, you know, issues will be, you know, legal or otherwise. So hopefully everything kind of goes smoothly and everything gets worked out. So, but. We'll see. I'm mixed on this, but I know you're probably into it, too. And Blended is another Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie, which I know Daryl will be
pleased. Oh, that.
Oh, my goodness. There's nothing I like more than Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore together on screen.
Yes.
that is a match made in heaven right there for this guy.
Nice.
For this Hellraiser fan. They should have been them.
It's not far off from literal Hellraiser. All right, May 30th.
Personal hell.
May 30th. What do you guys?
May 30th. Well, I was in the movie theater with Dave Johnson. We're going to sit down to watch Captain America, and the trailer comes up for Maleficent.
Yes.
And Dave turns to me and says, "Who is Maleficent?"
That's right. You know what?
You never saw Sleeping Beauty?
I never saw. And if I did, I don't remember it. And we haven't decided to have Bridget watch it yet because it's pretty intense and dark, right?
Yeah, it's really intense and scary, but it's awesome though. It's one of my favorite Disney movies.
And like, she likes Sleeping Beauty. She like Aurora. That's her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she likes the character. But we're just holding back from showing it to her because
there's a big scary dragon at the end that's really wild. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, so honestly, that's the movie I never got around to. So you'll have to kind of run point on this, Mac. I have no idea.
Well, this movie, the villain takes center stage. I guess we get her background and where she came from. I don't know if that's necessary or not. Just kind of big,
like
scary witch says it all.
Does it be like a wicked thing,
I don't – well, I think they're playing it more serious than that. But
I gotcha.
What I want to – because it's Angelina Jolie, and are we going to get – actress Angelina Jolie, or are we going to get movie star Angelina Jolie? That's what worries me. So I hope she really brings it and she just gives it a knockout performance. But if she's just, look how cool I am, then I lose interest.
So. See, Molly,
I just gave to Central American country, and now I'm in a movie. Aren't I awesome?
See, A Million Ways to Die in the West and another Seth MacFarlane film, which –
yeah, it looks like a Mad World.
Yeah.
For 2014, which is not welcome.
Yeah. Okay. let's skip ahead. June 6th, the headline, I would guess, by Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise movie, which looks interesting. I'm intrigued. It's got some Groundhog Day going on, which is always good. So
yeah, I worry that the trailer might have given too much away.
It's possible. Right, it's possible. In fact, I saw an interview with what's-his-face, the director, is it Doug Liman? The Bourne Identity guy, I think, directed this. And
Doug Liman.
He actually dropped something that like a major plot point, which I won't even reveal here because, like, wow, that's pretty. That seems pretty spoilerish. So it made me more interested. So unless it gets hammered, I think it might be something I'd spend some money to see.
The Fault in Our Stars is based on a best-selling book. I don't know much about it, but I know the book has a huge following.
Okay,
so that might be a big hit.
And The Sacrament is like an Eli Roth indie movie. Have you heard of that, Daryl?
It's the new Ty West movie. I'm looking forward to it. Ty West, and for those who don't know, his two big directorial projects are The Innkeepers and House of the Devil. And his shtick, at least as far as I can see, is slow build, hard payoff. For The Innkeepers and House of the Devil, that was actually really, really good. And so I'm looking forward to this because it's his first feature since The Innkeepers.
Yeah.
I think
the poster is spoilery on this movie, though, to be honest.
You never know.
Yeah.
It's going to be 88 minutes of people talking and running around and not doing anything. And then like 3 minutes of payoff.
All right.
And but Ty West, though, he treats his characters with real respect. They're like real people. They're not just slasher movie fodder.
But there's one thing against this, though. It is a found footage movie.
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah, but, so Ty West's found footage entry into VHS was one of the most abysmally boring things I've ever watched.
Somebody wrapping a Mother's Day present or something in the background?
Yeah, somebody sounded like they were. Just found the.
I think Mac just polished off a Fishwitch, I guess. Sorry, Darrell.
What I realized in this is it's a 15-minute, 18-minute short that Ty West made that's a bunch of garbage and then like 1 minute of payoff. Is that he needs like 95% of his movie to be set up. And you need time. And with The Innkeepers and House of the Devil, he was allowed time, and with his entry into VHS, he was not allowed time because it's like 15 minutes. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this because he has time. And he's been pretty impressive thus far. Cabin Fever 2 aside.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of
looking
words
forward to.
For a movie that'll probably gross $40,000.
Yep.
Hey, June 13th, a couple big movies, neither of which I'm really super interested in. But we got 22 Jump Street, which was a follow-up to what I thought was actually a disappointing 21 Jump Street. Like, I don't know. It ended up kind of – it was kind of a fun self-parody, and then it just sort of ended up as another stoner bro comedy. I don't know. It didn't really do much for me. And then How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I remember liking the first movie, but again, remember nothing about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of – How to Train Your Dragon, the first one, it was hugely popular, but it kind of left me cold.
Yeah.
I've been seeing ads for the second one everywhere. They're pushing this as the biggest movie of the summer. 22 Jump Street. You know, the first 21 Jump Street, the Jonah Hill movie, that is, I ended up liking more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I guess kind of guilty pleasure-ish. But for me, the show is always going to be number one.
Sure. Absolutely. And again, a little shout-out if you haven't been following Max.
Yes, exactly.
Episode by episode. Please go check out his 21 Jump Street Revisited.
Thanks.
Yeah, what's the let's get your plug in. What's the
Dude rocks himself some 21 Jump Street.
That's right. Well, where can I find all this excellence?
It's just macmcintyre.com. And every Wednesday I'm doing a post on 21 Jump Street.
Live vicariously, Drew Mac. So June 20th, I got nothing.
We got Jersey Boys based on the Broadway show.
Okay.
Which should be pretty good. I don't know who's doing it. Yeah. Who's directing it or anything, but the Broadway show is very cinematic. It's like watching a movie with a lot of quick scene changes and whatnot. And so it's
Clint Eastwood are directing this?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
But it should really lend itself to a film very easily, unlike say Rock of Ages where they rewrote the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it might be really good.
All right. It might be really good.
Yeah, so also that week we've got the latest, although it just blanked out on me for internet ad business, the latest Roman Polanski movie, Venus in Fur.
Uh-huh.
And it's Emmanuel Saunier, which is pretty normal for him, but it appears to be some kind of adaptation of this Sacher Masoch, Venus in First novel. So anyway, it's a new Roman Polanski movie.
All right.
For people who aren't poisoned on him.
Okay. June 27th. Oh, yes.
Transformers 4.
I am ready.
Holy Jesus.
Look, it gets better. It is the first of a new trilogy. So I read an interview with Michael Bay. He doesn't know if he's directing other ones, but they know this is the first of a new trilogy. So I think everyone's well aware of where I stand with these Transformer movies, as objectionably terrible as I could be. I'm a sucker for a Peter Cullen voiced Optimus Prime murdering, shooting Megatron in the back of the head.
So we're all of about the same age. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
There are, you know, we've got G.I. Joe and we've got...
Which I never got into. That was never my gig.
Yeah, although, did you see the Community?
Not yet. I know I need to. But again, I was never, ever a G.I. Joe guy. I never owned any G.I. Joes, never watched the show, never.
So, but there was that, there's Transformers, there's Thunder the Barbarian, like there's
He-Man. He-Man was my bag, that was my bag. Transformers was my bag.
What made Transformers something that you could, like... Turn into a 4. Turn into Transformers 4, because nobody's tuning into Thundar the Barbarian 4, the quest for Manhattan's X.
It's pretty simple. It's simple. It's why Transformers itself just revs up everybody. It combines space robots and cars. That's it. They have some fun mythology, but it is a kid's, every kid's dream. I remember, like, it would be awesome if my dad dropped me off at school in a car that turned into a robot. You know, and I Believe it's okay. As simple as that. A car that turns into a robot, and the robots sometimes swing axes at each other.
But when that was a toy, like when we were kids,
yeah.
Like when I was 12 years old, 11 years old, getting I don't know, Bumblebee as a present for Christmas, the full transformable thing. That's cool. I get that. What about Transformers is so cool that 20 years after that, you can still give a little kid Bumblebee and have them not be disgusted with you?
No, I just told you.
I know, it just doesn't.
That is an evergreen thing.
It doesn't mesh. Like, it's not. That's not.
It obviously meshes because these things print money. So
absolutely.
People see them. So it is an evergreen thing. Space robots plus awesome cars equals lots of money. Lots of kids, lots of toys. The kids that are playing with Transformers are like me when I was playing Transformers, except I had real die-cast metal toys. Not lead-coated paint toys, but that's about it. All the concepts are the same. That's what it is. Robots, cars, and occasionally dinosaurs. Awesome. That's it.
And sometimes insects.
And thankfully with this, no Shia LaBeouf. So tell me.
Not yet, at least.
All right. Oh, no. I think he's kind of worked himself out of these kind of big jobs, if you ask
me. I think he's done his own damage.
That's right. So, all right. So I won't bore anybody. So I don't think any. And I will say the second movie, and it's actually right up there with a movie I'm really looking for, Transformers 4, They Came Together, the David Wayne movie with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler.
Oh, really? Oh,
please check out, go YouTube the They Came Together clip. It's very funny. It is a lot of state alma mater, and it's a lot of Wet Hot American Summer folks. I don't know if you guys are fans of that. And it's just a parody of romantic comedies, but done a lot more. A lot funnier and more clever than.
And I'm looking at the plot description. It sounds really quirky.
It's not quirky though. It's absurd. It's absurd.
And I really need to go back and watch Wet Hot American Summer.
Which is so it's. Look, I saw the clip and it feels like Wet Hot American Summer to me. You know, it's David Wayne's done kind of more straight arrow stuff. Like Role Models and whatnot, and that really dumb Jennifer Aniston movie, which I really hated. But this one. It's got that absurd state feel that I love. So, yeah, don't think quirky. Watch the clip and get back to me. That's all I'll say. Okay.
Right. So I guess Transformers is supposed to be our big July 4th movie. Because over July 2nd, July 4th, I've not seen anything major.
Right. So let's go to July 11th.
July 11th. This one's been kind of quiet. Not too many ads or promotions for this. But Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Which I never saw the first one recently. Is that good? That
we're seeing? By first one, you mean most recent one?
I've seen the first one, obviously. The
third first one, you mean.
Yes.
It was interesting. It was a remake of one of the later Planet of the Apes sequels from the 70s. And they played it fairly straight. The effects were really good. And there was a big fight scene at the end, which is really awesome. Big apes fighting a helicopter and a bridge. And it was a surprise. It was just kind of... It was just sort of a fun ape movie. But the question is, where are they going to go from here? Are they going to be like the 70s ones where they got just ridiculously dark and violent? Or are they going to go in some other direction? I mean, this franchise could just go in any direction right now. So I don't know what they've got planned, and I'm really curious.
So it'll be mocap mayhem, that's for sure.
Yes.
All right. What's the fluffy movie?
Do we want to know?
I don't want to know.
Nothing.
I don't want to know what that is.
Looks like it's a concert film about one of America's most popular comedians, Fluffy Iglesias.
Okay.
Who performs year-round sold-out shows across America.
All right. I've never heard of him, but there you go. Oh, yes. Right. So for the octogenarians in the audience, And So It Goes, starring Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton. Directed by Rob Reiner, so that'll be coming out as well. So,
okay. Look at that.
So that we just covered that demographic just now. So moving on.
Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton's awesome.
That's right. So, all right. So the big one, 18th, I guess, would be Jupiter Ascending. Yes.
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending's the big deal. There's the Wachowski brother and sister team now. Mila Kunis and.
Did you ever see Cloud Atlas?
I did not see Cloud Atlas.
You did? Did you like it, Mac?
It was okay. It's kind of, I bet it rewards repeat viewings, but over, it's like six different stories. They're all intertwined with each other. And
Mac, did you read the book?
I did not.
Okay.
And it's just – well, it just suffers the anthology disease of some stories being stronger than others. And so
– yeah.
You know, it's like there's a detective story. There's two sci-fi stories. There's a Jim Broadbent comedy story where he's, like, locked in this asylum. Those were the really interesting stories. And the stuff on the boat and the stuff with the composer, that was the boring stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just get through those scenes to get back to Jim Broadbent being wacky.
Yeah, I think I've checked out of the Wachowski stuff since the highway chase scene in Matrix Reloaded. Everything after that I've been disinterested in, so. Yeah. Okay, July 25th.
Oh, wait, on July 18th we also have The Purge Anarchy. Well, you know, the thing about horror sequels, they're like rabbits. You can never have just two.
Apparently
so this means
not.
That The Purge is now going to be the franchise,
yes.
And we're going to get one every year from now on.
Yeah, and what's funny is that I've never actually
got to settle in for Purge Mania.
Yeah, The Purge, I don't know.
I've never even heard of it.
What? Never?
It's supposed to be like hyper.
I've never even heard of it.
It's supposed to be like some real clumsy political analogy, too, so I don't know.
It's basically a home invasion movie, and the political stuff is just to explain why they don't call the cops. It's one night of the year when there's no police and
right.
All crime is illegal.
So is this the sequel or is this the third?
Second.
I guess
this is the second movie in the series.
Okay.
And it's going to be a series now. And
when,
this one is going to show like what happens elsewhere in the world during
probably
this
like
one
a year ago.
Years.
I don't know. Probably six months ago. Okay. And like another, speaking of sequels, another Planes movie for some reason. So.
Well, how did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
He must have cranked that out fast.
I'm looking forward to the Tuskegee Airmen planes. Something. Okay, July 25th, the big one there is another Hercules movie. So we've had years where we've had two asteroid movies and two volcano movies.
But this one's got The Rock.
This one's got The Rock. I just watched Legend of Hercules, which I'm reviewing for the site, and it is so suckbag that I don't think The Rock is much to so.
Yeah, he was just on WrestleMania pushing this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Does Rock actually play Hercules, or is he like Zeus or something?
He is Hercules.
Yeah, he's Hercules, yeah. That would be it.
And he's jacked. And he is.
That guy pumps it up, so.
You know, he's bigger than he was as a wrestler, to be, you know, Zeus's son, which I respect. But what I don't respect is the idea of making a Hercules movie again, because stop this.
All right, real quick, ambush topic here. Of the two Astro movies from way back when, Deep Impact or Armageddon, which one did you like? Which one did you prefer?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
I know. It's picking your favorite turd, I understand.
Yeah. Am I getting stabbed in the left foot or the right foot?
Which one did you least hate, I suppose?
I guess I remember more from the – oh, no, wait. I was thinking of Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones. Armageddon was the Michael Bay one.
Michael Bay and Deep Impact.
And
Morgan Freeman as the president and Elijah Wood on a dirt bike.
Man. Those were both just awful.
Yeah, they were real bad.
Yeah, no, it's really left ball, right ball.
I guess
that's right.
Look, I guess the Michael Bay one has more unintentional comedy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Michael Bay just because it's more entertaining than Deep Impact.
Michael Bay knows how to make an action thing.
Armageddon was terrible and, like, cringe-inducing. There was stuff that
it's
was
terrible.
Cringeworthy, you know, so bad. But it was like at least you felt like you got your money's worth. Deep Impact again, up its own keister, and like Tia Leone hugging her dad on the beach while they get washed.
Whoever pegged Tia Leone as a star?
I don't know. That's a misfire, though. That is a misfire.
Who did that?
Okay, real quick then, Volcano or Dante's Peak?
I don't remember much about Dante's Peak. Was just like everything was ash, and in Volcano we actually saw the lava. So
I'm gonna go with Dante's Peak. I recently reviewed it for something. I think it was on Blu-ray, and I reviewed it a year or two ago. And first time I'd seen it actually, I was like, you know what? These guys go for it. So
the one's Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce
Brosnan.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of ash, but it is lots of ash. You're right. It is ashtastic. But Volcano really is just like lava seeping up through the cracks, like the ectoplasm in Ghostbusters 2, right? It's not like...
Right, yeah, because it's in L.A., so it's just everything's flat, so it's just kind of seeping up through the ground.
That's right. So at least Dante's Peak blows its lid, you know, so I get it. So, okay, enough of that topic. All So yeah, Jason Segel, Cameron Diaz, comedy there, Sex Tape as well. So
yeah, and they were What's Bad Teacher?
Okay, so
there's some history, I guess, there.
Yeah, it's actually not. Doesn't sound like a terrible concept, to be honest.
No, I think Jake Kasdan is the director of he directed Bad Teacher, I guess.
Okay.
So I guess that makes sense.
I do like I'm a Jason Segel fan. I like him. So.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And probably speaking of Jason Pinello, would probably want us to mention, is Jason Pinello the Woody Allen fan or not? Or it's our it's actually Matt, right? Matt, our director pal. So he's a Woody Allen fan.
Okay.
But Magic in the Moonlight is a Woody Allen movie. FYI.
He's put out it seems like 12 movies in the last 4 months.
Yeah, the guy's on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I guess through the scandal, he just puts his head down and works through it.
Yeah.
But he's done, three movies in the last year.
He's a Tyler Perry of directors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, August 1st.
They should get together on a project.
Let's see. We'll alternate months with movies. All right, August 1st. Mac, again, in your wheelhouse of things.
As soon as we're going back to Marvel with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that looks like
I'm in on that for sure.
I'm a lot more in on that than I have been on any Marvel movie.
And I'm with you on that. Like, I haven't seen a trailer that got me as interested in a Marvel movie as this one.
Yeah, the trailer was really funny and quirky and made the movie look like a great time. And there's the huge question mark of how this is going to tie into the rest of the Avengers series.
As stated before, I'm less interested in all that mythology. I know that's kind of what you're interested in, Mac, a lot, and I can understand why. But, to me, it's just – it looks like a fun movie by itself. Like, it looks like a fun movie-going experience.
Yeah.
And I'm really – and obviously it'd be – I'm planning on, Chris Pratt being awesome in this movie. I'm planning on him being, the perfect kind of dopey badass. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. Our man, Chris Pratt. All right. By the way, I can't remember who it was. Are you still watching Parks, Derek?
Derek?
Oh, I did it again, Derek.
Eric's not even here.
I know. I actually know your name.
I haven't seen it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there was something. Last week, Chris Pratt was making me laugh out loud. I can't remember what it was. I thought you might remember. So.
I haven't seen it in a couple of weeks. I still watch it and I still follow it, but I don't know. I think last season kind of killed me.
I understand. I would understand that. But there's an interesting pivot going on. This is a digression to our preview. But I'm going to spoil last week. The big reveal was Leslie's pregnant with triplets, right?
Oh, I didn't know about the triplets. Okay.
Yeah, so she's pregnant with triplets. and the show is making this interesting pivot away from Leslie Nope, crusader of injustice, in the political field to she's becoming almost like, I don't want to say a family comedy, but that's where her attention is going now. And it just feels like the comedy is kind of fresher and she's still in the parks department. So she's still in that element. And there's some legendary Ron Swanson stuff in this, but it's an interesting pivot. Like she's excited about triplets and, it's just funny to see this happen. So,
okay. And I knew she was.
Which is like a 180. It's a 180.
You have only not watched this past episode, the one that would have revealed the triplets business. But
it's actually quite funny. We're checking out, but it's interesting how the show is remade itself here. So I don't know. Okay.
Archer has that same business.
It does.
They remade themselves, and then in this last episode this week, they undid their reboot. They unrebooted themselves.
Nice.
And it was actually really pretty elegant. Can't really complain logically about how they worked it all out. Strong stuff.
Nice. All right, let's power through the rest of August here. So August 8th, I have no idea what to expect with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
Not see the point.
Zero.
The trailer was pretty painful.
I mean, there is there's another property that has been just – a locomotive since I was younger, that's been kids love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think, probably for the same.
Well, it's they're fun characters. It's a really great mythology they built up, but this movie, I don't know, it's basically, it's the Hulk, it looks like. Looks like they're making a Hulk movie and they're calling it Ninja Turtles. I don't know.
August 15th, The Expendables 3, which since The Expendables 2, which I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would.
I really liked Expendables.
Yeah, I thought to me Expendables 2 was what Expendables 1 should have been. I just think it was way more tongue-in-cheek. Everyone seemed to have a lot more fun. So, yeah. The first Expendables kind of left me eh. The second one I thought was where it should have been, and we'll see if the third one carries that.
So who's joining the crew for this one? We got Nicolas Cage, Jackie Chan, Wesley Snipes. They're all going to be in it.
Harrison Ford is in it.
Terry Crews,
obviously.
Terry Crews is back. I guess Mel Gibson has a cameo. I almost said Mel Brooks. Mel Gibson has a cameo.
Mel Gibson is in it.
Antonio Banderas.
Is he really? Is Banderas in this?
His name's on the list here.
Yeah. I didn't know Jackie Chan was in this. Not craziness.
Unless Jet Li is lying to me.
Is Jet Li in this one?
Yes. His name's on here too.
His name's on there, yeah.
That's right. And there's Kellen Luntz of the previous
UFC heavyweight or UFC women's champion Ronda Rousey is listed.
Nicolas Cage? Really? Huh.
I don't see him listed on my list.
No, he's on my list. All right.
Well, anyway.
We got some misinformation going on here. But...
Yeah, we'll have to get to the bottom of this here.
The murky world of Expendables 3.
That's right. Kelsey Grammer, apparently, is in it.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Robert Davey, which I'm excited about. That's cool.
Yeah, no, Robert Davey's awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Now I'm really excited. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not on the Nicolas Cage. That might be wholly untrue. And I don't see Jackie Chan in this list either, by the way. I'm at IMDb.
You're at IMDb? True. Okay, I'm at Movie Insider.
Yeah, that might be – Movie Insider might be lying to us. So. But we still like your site, Movie Insider, so please don't sue us or anything. So. Okay.
Another movie based on a book that same week, kind of counter-programming The Expendables, is The Giver.
Ah, yes.
This one's got Jeff Bridges and Meryl Streep, so.
That's right. There you go. If you just walked out of the theater, if you just got done watching that other old person movie, here's another old person movie for you, so very good. Okay, August 22nd, I guess Sin City, right?
Sin City's the big thing, but I'm really skeptical of it. I'm looking forward to it. Because the original, I mean, the Sin City, but it was 10 years ago, was fantastic and was basically the as close as you could come to Frank Miller's comic on screen as was possible. And then there was talk about sequels in business, and now we're sitting around 10 years later, and things have changed. You know, Mickey Rourke was an interesting casting in 2004. But what is it in 2014?
Like, do people know who Marv is?
At a certain level, who cares?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of the same people, and that's great. Lady Gaga's apparently in it, so, you know, it's got that cultural cachet attached to it. But I'm going to see it. I don't know. I'm not going to be very surprised if I'm desperately disappointed.
All right. Okay, and let's wrap up August 29th. I see a Leprechaun movie.
Leprechaun Origins, I guess. Like they did with Chucky last year, they're trying to make the Leprechaun scary again.
Okay, very good.
Which it never was.
You got a point. I am not seeing Warwick Davis' name on the credits.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because I think he did all of them up to this point. Even up through Leprechaun 2 Back in the Hood, which is what I believe to be the last Leprechaun movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for sure.
If it was him, if he was coming back, it's like, man, I'd want to see it. But I don't know. Without him, is there still Leprechaun?
No.
It doesn't. It just doesn't feel right. It's just not right.
Okay, and that's it. I think there's nothing really on that last one. So that is the summer, I guess. Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I think a lot of question marks.
Not the craziest, most exciting summer.
That's true, but I think it could be sneaky interesting. Like if Guardians turns out good, right? If that's a lot of fun, I mean, if maybe Hercules is fun, like again, Transformers 4, I'm I'm down with. That's just
Godzilla's kind of a question mark for me.
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow could be cool. We've got a bunch of comic book movies for sure. So I don't know. I think there could be some. Next year that's going to be bonkers, or what year's got like Star Wars and Batman and Superman and Avengers 2?
Definitely Avengers 2 next year. Yeah. Star Wars and Batman and Superman, they keep fiddling with the release dates.
Yeah, right. In fact, I think Batman got bumped. So Avengers 2 will be a big one for sure, obviously. But I don't know when James Cameron's assembly line of Avatar sequels are supposed to roll out. But
no, he keeps saying he's going to make like 100 of them.
Oh, good Lord. So, quote, the message really resonated with people, so great. That's fantastic. So, okay, but that's about it. So I think we'll wrap up this edition of the Friday Filibuster. So hopefully there's something you'll see, and maybe we'll come back with some reviews here and there. Don't count on it though. We don't get out a lot around here. Daryl's town is so small, he doesn't even get the Raid 2. Right?
Yeah, but I do get WWE Network. So,
yeah, we do. That's right.
I'm in the zone. So don't worry.
I think Daryl needs to do a WWE one man show monologue for fun. So okay, that's it. So Daryl, Mac, thanks, Mac. Take us away.
What a bunch of a-holes.